Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current social, political, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. The big news this week is Ukraine Gate. Back on July 25th, President Trump had a phone call with the president of the Ukraine, asking him to look into the Russian collusion story and the corruption of Joe Biden and his son's dealing with a Ukrainian gas company. 1 Corinthians 10:6. Now these things happened as an example to us, upon whom the ends of the age have come. This event has been permitted by God for our learning, for our sanctification, for our protection, for our evangelism. So let's review the situation. Joe Biden's son, Hunter, was being paid $50,000 a month by a Ukrainian gas company for consulting services. And Hunter Biden knows nothing about the oil and gas industry. He was clearly getting paid $50,000 a month so the company could have influence on Biden and the Obama administration. It was pay to play. Whether the $50,000 affected Biden's judgment toward the Ukraine or this company is hard to prove. Biden said he never talked to his son about this whole thing, but Biden is holding a smoking gun. In 2018, Biden was speaking at an event sponsored by the magazine Foreign Affairs. And Biden boasted that he told the Ukrainians and the Ukrainian president that if they don't remove their lead state prosecutor, Viktor Shokin, the United States would hold back $1 billion in loan guarantees to the Ukrainians. Here's what Biden said. I said, nah, I'm not going to, or we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said to me, you have no authority. You're not the president. I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting the $1 billion. I said, you're not getting the billion. I'm going to be leaving here in, I think it was about 6 hours. I looked at them and said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor is not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a B-I-T-C-H, he got fired, and they put in place someone who was solid at that time. So why did Biden want the lead prosecutor fired? And why would Biden jump on this issue? Well, those on the left say it was because Viktor Shokin was corrupt. But it just so happens that Viktor Shokin was investigating this gas company and its payments to Hunter Biden. Coincidence or not, it looks very bad for Joseph Biden. Vice President Biden used the threat of removing foreign aid to get a prosecutor fired who was investigating his son. And this is called quid pro quo, meaning favor or advantage granted in expectation for something in return. And it's against the law to use federal money or influence for personal gain or legal protection. So this is what President Trump said in his telephone call to the Ukrainian president. Quote, there's a lot of talk about Biden's son, that Biden stopped the prosecution, and a lot of people want to find out about that. So whatever you can do with the attorney general would be great. Biden went about bragging that he stopped the prosecution. So if you can look into it, it sounds horrible to me. So Trump is being accused of criminal behavior for looking into the corruption of Joseph Biden and his son Hunter. But just because someone is running for office, even as your opponent, doesn't shield him from a corruption investigation. But this situation with Biden and his son was not the main concern in Trump's phone conversation. The main point was for the president of the Ukraine to cooperate with the president's lawyers and other administration officials in looking into the origin of these accusations against Donald Trump and his alleged collusion with Russia in the 2016 election. After the Mueller report exonerated Donald Trump from the Democrats' false accusation of Russian collusion, Trump and the Attorney General, William Barr, started looking into who fabricated the evidence, who started the Russian collusion investigation for political gain. And on that phone call with the president of the Ukraine, Trump also asked the president to investigate CrowdStrike. Quote from the phone call, "I would like you to do us a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot and Ukraine knows a lot about it. I would like you to find out what happened with this whole situation with Ukraine. They say CrowdStrike. I guess you have one of your wealthy people. The server, they say, Ukraine has it. There's a lot of things that went on, the whole situation. I think you're surrounding yourself with some of the same people. I would like to have the Attorney General call you and your people, and I'd like you to get to the bottom of it. As you saw yesterday, that whole nonsense ended with a very poor performance by a man named Robert Mueller, an incompetent performance, but they say a lot of it started with Ukraine. Whatever you can do, it's very important that you do it, if that's possible." So who or what is CrowdStrike? Well, it's a huge cybersecurity company. When the DNC server was hacked before the 2016 election, the DNC did not hand their computers over to the FBI for analysis. They hired this private firm, CrowdStrike, to investigate where the hacking came from. CrowdStrike said the hacking came from Russia. So this proof that the Russians hacked the DNC comes from this firm hired by the DNC called CrowdStrike. And everyone assumes that it's Russia that tampered in the 2016 election because the Democrats say so. The founder of CrowdStrike is a Russian emigre who hates Putin. And in the past, CrowdStrike has made false claims in regard to Russian hacking. They have even been caught on it and had to apologize. So it's very convenient for the DNC to be able to claim that the Russians hacked their server and then connect Trump to Russia when the hacking could have been coming from many other Eastern European sources, even from somewhere in the West. So Trump is asking the president of the Ukraine to look into this whole Russian hacking claim and influence peddling by Biden. Rudy Giuliani, President Trump's lawyer, is defending this investigation of the Democrats, the server, and Joseph Biden to defend his client, Donald Trump. In order to show that the Russian collusion was a fraud, he must look into the Democrats colluding with the Ukraine in order to hurt Trump's campaign. So as it stands right now, the Democrats are accusing the president of colluding with the Ukrainians to find dirt on his political opponent, Joseph Biden, and they think they have a case to impeach the president on this basis. The Republicans in the administration are saying no, they were legally investigating the corruption of the DNC. Rudy Giuliani is saying that he is the actual whistleblower of Democrat corruption, and the Democrats don't want the story to come out. So did you get all that? I'm recording this program on Monday, and it's going to air this coming weekend. And who knows what all will be revealed in this coming week, but that's the short of it, as it stands now. So what is the spiritual lesson in all this? Well, as a side note, as a sub-lesson, let me just mention Proverbs 25:8. Do not go out hastily to argue your case. Otherwise, what will you do in the end when your neighbor humiliates you? Well, since the election of Donald Trump, the Democrats have banded together to resist at all cost, to create constant negative news against the president for his entire term. Make it look like it's one scandal after another, to find anything they can to impeach the president. And so even before the facts come in, the Democrats are reporting that it's all over for the president, that they have the smoking gun to impeach the president. And time again, it turns out to be nothing. And in the end, it makes the Democrats look foolish and vindictive and petty. Hence, Proverbs 25:8 applies. Do not go out hastily to argue your case. Otherwise, what will you do in the end when your neighbor humiliates you? Also consider 2 Samuel chapter 2. After David came to power, the former general of King Saul, Abner, was bitter, and he challenged David's general Joab and his men to a fight. Abner was totally convinced he could defeat Joab and his men, but Abner overestimated his resources, and he was shamefully defeated. 2 Samuel 2:17, that day the battle was very severe. Abner and the men of Israel were beaten before the servants of David. And so in the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 14, a king before he goes to battle needs to estimate whether he can win or not win. What king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter one coming against him with 20,000? So as the old saying goes, the Democrats have gotten too far in front of their skis. Even before the transcript of Trump's conversation with the Ukrainian president was released last week, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, started impeachment proceedings against the president, because the Democrats are sure they've got the president on this one, only to find out later that the transcripts really do not indict the president. And this is the main lesson I believe we can draw from this event. When you have an agenda or an ideology, you see everything the way you want to see it rather than the truth. This is the blinding power of ideological bias, especially when it's a false bias motivated by hatred and ambition. Like Haman in the Old Testament book of Esther. He was sure when King Ahasuerus wanted to honor someone, that the king was talking about him. So he suggested that the king do all sorts of good things for this person. And then the king said to Haman, "That's a good idea. Do this for Mordecai." And Mordecai was a Jew that Haman hated. And then Haman builds a gallows to hang Mordecai. And by the end of the story, Haman is hanging on the very gallows he built to hang Mordecai. Now, all of this is in the Bible for a good reason, because ideological bias that blinds is such a common sinful reaction. And in this situation, this very attack on Donald Trump is exposing the corruption of Joe Biden and will probably end Biden's run for the presidency. The public is expecting Joe Biden to say, "Yes, this was wrong for my son to receive this money." But instead, Biden is accusing the president of corruption for investigating his corruption. And what we saw last week was a perfect example of how ideological bias skews our interpretation of events, the way we see everything. Adam Schiff, Democrat congressman from California, made a statement at a House Intelligence Committee hearing last week, where he completely fabricated a new version of the president's phone conversation with the president of Ukraine. Schiff gave a parody of what he believed President Trump was saying to the Ukrainian president. Schiff said that the phone conversation reads like an organized crime shakedown. Schiff claimed that Trump said, "I want you to make up dirt on my political opponent. Understand? Lots of it. On this and on that, I'm going to put you in touch with people, and not just any people. I'm going to put you in touch with the Attorney General of the United States and my attorney. He's got the whole weight of the American law enforcement behind him. And I'm going to put you in touch with Rudy Giuliani. You're going to love him. Trust me. You know what I'm asking. So I'm only going to say this a few more times in a few more ways. And by the way, don't call me again. I'll call you when you've done what I've asked." Now, what Schiff made up was so bizarre and so unprofessional, it really demonstrated ideological bias. Schiff wanted everyone to see in Trump's conversation what he reads into Trump's conversation. So he made up a whole new phone conversation. And that is the power of ideological bias. You only see, you only hear what you want to hear. Like they say, love is blind, but hatred has 1,000 eyes. When you're filled with hatred, you become an unjust, fault finder, Jude 16, and you speak arrogantly. Bill Maher, the political pundit who is nowhere near being on the political right, surprised everyone this weekend by calling out Democrat hypocrisy in their handling of the Ukrainian case. Maher said on his program that if this was one of Donald Trump's children that were receiving $50,000 a month in pay-to-play money from a Ukrainian oligarch, you'd be sure that the story in the media would be all about the corruption in Trump's family, not about the people trying to unearth the corruption. But when Biden's son receives $50,000 a month in pay-to-play money, the story in the media is all about how wrong it was of Trump to look into Biden's corruption. Bill Maher said, quote, if Don Jr. did this rather than Hunter Biden, it would be all Rachel Maddow would be talking about. Unquote. Now, furthermore, think about the whole timeline here over the last 3 years. The Democrats have had no problem in using the government, the CIA, the FBI, to do opposition research on their political opponents, to look for corruption. The intelligence community planted spies in Trump's campaign, and they started an investigation to see if they could accuse Trump and his campaign of colluding with the Russians. But now when Donald Trump asked the Ukrainians to look into the corruption of Biden, that now is a crime. The double standard here that comes from the bias ideological blindness is simply amazing. And this is one of the major themes in the Gospels. The leadership of Israel misinterpreted and twisted everything that Jesus said and did because they hated him, they hated his authority, they hated his values. And so when he healed the sick, they said he must be doing it by the power of demons. But if one of their own sons healed the sick, of course that was from God. But of course, none of their own sons healed the sick. Now, I'm not saying that Donald Trump is like Jesus. But a trope that was circulating on the internet a while back is that if Donald Trump walked on water, the media would report that he didn't know how to swim. And this bias was such an important issue in Jesus' earthly ministry that Jesus explained it to the people using an illustration. The illustration of children in the marketplace. Matthew chapter 11, verse 16. But what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace who call out to the other children and say, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. The point is this. Since the leadership of Israel and the people had no desire or love for the Messiah, this Messiah who would focus on saving them from their sin, they found a pretext to accuse Jesus and the prophet John of being unqualified. But the very thing they found objectionable in the prophet John, when Jesus did the opposite, they found that objectionable. So like children, they changed the story of what they like or didn't like to fit their preferred conclusions. No matter what song was being sung, they found fault. This week there was a clip of Nancy Pelosi back in 1998 defending Bill Clinton against impeachment. And all the reasons she gave for not impeaching Clinton is all the reasons she is now giving to impeach Trump. And the double standard is so obvious. It looks like a comedy routine. And I believe it was Mark Twain who said something to the effect of, there is nothing more corrupt than waiting until you find out which party someone belongs to before deciding whether his actions are right or criminal. Now, why is that corrupt? Because one is basing right and wrong not on God's objective moral standards, but basing right and wrong on what helps me. And that gets at the very core of man's rebellion against God. It's not God's holiness that matters. What matters is my own rightness and my own advancement. It's a failure to put oneself under the authority of God. It's Isaiah 14:13. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Right and wrong are what I want them to be. And if I don't like the Messiah because he speaks against my choices and my authority, he's wrong, and to the cross he goes. So again, this whole new story, this whole human event last week, is ordained of God for us to see another example of how we twist and suppress the truth based on our worldview, based on our moral compass, based on our political party affiliation, our ideology. Quickly in closing, if there is such a blinding power in ideological bias, how can anyone know whether he's right? I mean, could not the political right be just as blind in their ideological bias as the political left? Could not the Christians be just as blinded by their religious fantasies as the secular atheistic evolutionists? Now, relativists will use this argument to claim that there are no moral absolutes. There's no truth. Everybody just makes up their own truth. 1 Corinthians 4:4. For I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted. But the one who examines me is the Lord. So here Paul is stating that the standard cannot be yourself. We can be fooled by our own biases. The standard has to be the Lord. And practically, that means looking at the clear moral mandates given to us in the Bible. If you are breaking God's moral law in your behavior, in your policies, in your party platform, you're condoning gross immoralities, you're engaged in infanticide, abortion, then you are the one in the wrong. Don't kid yourself. You are the one living a delusional fantasy. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, God's word, it's because they have no light. You have been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other previous programs is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can contact me with questions, comments. That's godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube channel for the extended version of this program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. As always, thank you for including God and Country as part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for putting us on this world stage so we can see the nature of sin. May we confess our sinful biases. And we know that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.